Welcome to Trinity Hoyleton.
Lent is the time to reflect on the love of Jesus for us.
Thank you for joining us in worship.
Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. It's great to see so many faces here, and it's great to be back in the sanctuary. I got to confess to you that I almost said Hoyleton when I was in Centralia last week, and then got all confused. There's But we pray God's blessings on our worship this evening. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in speaking the words of Psalm 51 responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We join together in our hymn of response, number 608, Lord, to you I make confession. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we bow down to you in thankful praise. You have made your ways known to both lowly and great on earth. We give you thanks that you have not abandoned the work of your hands, but instead you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for tonight is from Leviticus chapter 14. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. And on the seventh day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as we join in singing our sermon hymn tonight, number 430. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for tonight's sermon is from our Gospel according to St. John. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dinner celebrations can be some of the things that are etched into our memories. Maybe you have a memory of a bunch of kids at a pizza parlor shoving as much pizza into their face as they can, jamming as many quarters into the machines, all to get it all in those couple of hours that they have in that place. And while that's etched into your memory, that might be a nightmare. So what about maybe you're sitting around the family dinner table? The food has been simmering for a while, and the smells are throughout the house. And as you sit down, you share a meal together. The food is delicious. The conversation is lively. Maybe that sounds a little more like it, right? But regardless of where your preferred dinner celebration is, some meals together are some of the most cherished times of our lives. Jesus also enjoyed dinner celebrations throughout his ministry. Let's not forget that his very first miracle occurred at one of them, when he turned water into wine at Cana. He celebrated with just about anyone he would find walking on the street. And this led to some people getting very irritated with him, where we hear in Luke chapter 15 the charge that this man welcomes sinners and eats with him. And in our gospel, we are 6 days before the Passover. That meal took place at the house of Simon the leper, whom Jesus had miraculously healed. And as you had heard from our Old Testament reading tonight, being declared clean after being a leper was quite the ordeal. So now here he was, back in the midst of everyone he knew, not having to be cast off on the edge of society. So he was probably glad to be there that evening, but his presence paled a little bit in comparison to Lazarus, whom Jesus had also raised from the dead. And Lazarus had become a bit of a local celebrity. Jesus raising him caused many other Jews to follow him, as we heard in our gospel tonight. This, again, caused a major problem for the Sadducees, who were the chief priests at the time, because, after all, the Sadducees denied the existence of resurrection from the dead. So Lazarus was a walking, talking contradiction to their theology, and to them, an abomination. So they set out to eliminate him once and for all. These two individuals who were both present at that dinner that evening demonstrated Jesus' limitless power. The people around them put their trust in him. Not always their complete trust, though. And there it is where we have some similarity with the people who were around Jesus. Even though he is the great physician who can heal both body and soul, we still don't always put our complete trust in him. This can be especially true as circumstances kind of deteriorate around us sometimes. But even when that happens, we can still walk on our journey of faith with a spring in our step because of what we heard from our epistle from Romans chapter 13, where Paul says that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. This was evident to those who were at that dinner, because if you back up just one chapter in John, you hear Jesus say some of his most famous words that he spoke on this earth, where he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus had likely enjoyed many other dinners with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but Mary knew him well enough to kind of put the pieces together in her head that he was beginning to take his final steps. So she took the better part of a year's wages and went and purchased that ointment made of pure nard. Now, nard was an extraordinarily expensive perfume. It was made way off in the Himalayas between Tibet and India. And it had to be carted by camel caravan. So I almost said caramel caravan. They're not getting very far in a caramel caravan. In a camel caravan, miles and miles through mountain passes. So she took that valuable resource in an alabaster jar, broke it, and poured it all over Jesus. Nard was also one of the perfumes that was used to anoint a body before a funeral, because its scent is so strong that it overcomes the smell of the deteriorating body in the tomb. So this fragrance would have spread throughout the home. It also helped make that dinner a time that signaled Jesus' upcoming sacrifice. When she anointed him that night, it was as if she was getting a head start on what Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea would do just a short time later, when they took Jesus' body and bound it with linen strips along with the spices in accordance with Jewish customs. Judas, of course, is incensed by what happens, but as John notes, not because he actually cares for anyone but himself. Again, foreshadowing what would happen in just a week's time. Jesus rebukes him because Jesus also knew that his ministry was coming to an end. The crowds that were piling and coming into the house at the end, the other places that Jesus were going, were one of the factors that cemented the Sanhedrin's decision to murder our Lord. And while it's easy to condemn Judas, many of us at some point have put our own desires ahead of following him. It is because of these sins that he made the ultimate sacrifice. And it was that but a week later, at another dinner celebration, as Judas was indeed plotting to turn over Jesus, that he instituted that dinner celebration we still celebrate today with those words, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Those words that you hear every time that we as a congregation come together to celebrate that dinner here at that altar. At that holy meal, you receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. That forgiveness that was won on the cross that Friday and firmly established when he broke free from the grave. So no matter what kind of dinner celebration is your cup of tea, a calm, nice family dinner, maybe going out to Kretzer's and enjoying a steak or some seafood in a packed house, or maybe even you're one of those crazy people that love going to Chuck E. Cheese and hearing all of the casino-like sounds and watching kids run in circles for 3 hours. Whatever it is, never forget what our Savior did, both at the dinner celebration we heard about tonight and the one you celebrate right here today. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and into life eternal. Amen. Please stand as you are able as we join together in singing the Magnificat number 933. Please be seated as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand as you are able. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service that they may show your praise in our land and in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let your blessing remain upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them the just rewards for their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all those who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Thretta, Norman, Bill, Jim, Bessie, Brian, Ray, Daryl, Joanne, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Loreen, Bula, Carolyn, Roy, Verdell, Dorothy, Wayne, Corey, Mike, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Butch, Brighton, Steve, Judy, Brindley, Brent, Bill, Delmar, and all cancer patients. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you in your church on earth, who now rest from their labors, especially Marlene. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God, the Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Please be seated as we sing our departing hymn together, number 427, In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us here in worship this evening. Just one announcement before we dismiss tonight. If you heard the bells earlier and during the prayer this evening, that Marlene Kari passed away today. While we mourn her loss, we rejoice that the next time that you all gather here for that dinner celebration, when you hear those words with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, you'll know that Marlene is there as well, celebrating with you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.